Blog Talk Radio.
It's getting ready.
She's well, no, she's well. She's a giant, we've been together.
Cool.
Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of our son, Yahushua HaMashiach. We thank you once again, Father, for the breath of life. We thank you for allowing us to see another day. We thank you for this time, Father, your Shabbat, that you come to talk with us, come to sup with us, Father. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all our sins, that you forgive us for all our wrongdoings, Father. We thank you for your chastisement, Father, when we go to the left and to the right, for always bringing us back to your path, your Torah, Father. Father, we ask that you open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears, Father, that we may receive your word, that we may be doers of your word, Father, that you engrave it upon us, Father, and that we always keep your word at the forefront of our mind. Father, we ask that anyone who is hurting physically, mentally, spiritually, Father, that you comfort them, strengthen them, Father, their minds on you. Father, we ask that you bless everyone that's on their way. Bless everyone who's keeping your Shabbat today, Father, wherever they are. Father, we just continue to grow with us, grow us, and raise us up as your little children. In Yahushua's name, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Kol Shiva, Yisrael. Amen. And Shabbat Shalom. How's everyone feeling today? As usual.
Go ahead.
I got to cut the volume back up, I think.
Okay, you're all right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Just want to give thanks to Abiyah for just always helping me, you know, and always showing that he's there, you know. Because a little while ago, I had some issues. I went through a little bout of depression, and I ain't telling nobody, because sometimes there's some battles that you just have to fight by yourself, because Abba needs to bring stuff out of you so you can understand things about you. So I was going through it. The spirit was on me real heavy, and I asked Abba why you know, what's going on with me, remove your spirit, and it just didn't go nowhere. Well, one day, you know, I was hurting real bad. My body was hurting, and I couldn't get any peace of mind. And all this crap just kept on happening. And what I said was, I said, Father, I know that I said I wouldn't do this, but this is how I feel. Feel as though you're not there. And that's what he wanted to hear. See, because a lot of times we can't first step to solving a problem is identifying the problem. He has to pull crap up out of you in order for him to deal with it, you know? A lot of times we think when we're lashing out or whatever, you know, we're being disobedient, and we are, because we're not supposed to bring accusations against the Father. We're not. But when we do bring those accusations against the Father, it's just like any other parent. I'm going to show you that you're wrong. I'm showing you the opposite. So I went through a little bit more, and one day I just laid down and I listened to some music. And the thing that he said to me was, I care. And that's what he wanted me to understand, because sometimes we forget that Abba cares about us. He literally cares about us. He is an active participant in our lives. We're not going through this alone. He literally cares about the stuff that we go through. So sometimes we get touched, just like Job. Job got touched the whole way through. All of it was so he could pull out this self-righteousness out of Job.
Amen.
You know, that's why this stuff happened. But it was because Abba cared about Job's mental state. It was something going on with him that wasn't right. I want to see you in this kingdom. In order for you to get into this kingdom, this has to come out of you, you know? So when we go through stuff, it's because Abba cared. But, you know, the one thing that I truly believe is that when something happens to one of the Kohanim, it's not only just for them, it's for the whole congregation.
Amen.
After that, I believe Yaakel said some stuff about some things that was going on in the congregation when he was teaching. Ariel said some stuff about some things that was going on in the congregation on Blog Talk. And I'm sitting up there going, thank you, Father. See, because it's not just me, you know, that he was showing this stuff to. It's not just me that was going through this. Okay, so that's why this was going on. All right, congregation, Yahweh cares about us.
Amen.
He literally cares about Yisrael. He literally cares about this congregation right here, the one that bears his name, Bet Yahweh.
Amen.
What do you say? Judgment going to start at his house, at Bet Yahweh. It's going to start here. Why? He chastises the one he loves.
Amen.
That's what he says. Somebody asked me, what is a disciple? Well, if you listen to the word disciple, you hear the word discipline, which means being taught or being chastised. But sometimes we look at chastisement in a bad way. Well, encouragement is a type of chastisement too. That's the positive of it, you know. So we get the encouragement of Yahweh, because when we're doing something right, he encourages us to continue to do right. But when we're doing something wrong, he disencourages us to, oh, hold on, that's not right. It's just like a father. It's just like any parent, you know. I want you to practice doing right, and when you're doing right, good work, son, good work, daughter, keep that up. But when you're doing something wrong, the correction has to come to get it right. It's just like, you know, when I was younger, I used to play basketball. Shooting free throws, one of the things they would teach us is that you have to bend your knees, because if you shoot it straight with your arms, your shot's flat. So one of the things they teach you in BNBL, when you're shooting that jumper, when you're shooting that free throw, bend your knees, come up, and it gives an arc to your shot, and it makes it easier to hit. So the coach was like, nah, son, you ain't bend your knees. That's why you missed. Nope, you ain't bend. Bend them knees. And then you start bending your knees, snapping your wrist. Wham, you're hitting them. Then the coach is going, that's it, son. Keep that up. That's encouragement. That's discipline. But he had to correct the form in order to get the process that he needed out, you know? So, point being, Abba cares about us, you know? Always have to remember. And that's why we go through a lot of stuff. You know, that's why we go through a lot of stuff. But as long as we keep on saying, there's nothing wrong with me, there's nothing wrong with me, there's nothing wrong with me, expect to keep on going through some stuff. Because he has to pull that out of you. He has to make you understand that there is an issue with you that he wants to work on. All right? So, that being said, any comments or questions about that? All right. And it kind of ties into the lesson. Because today we're talking about the word as a seed. And we're going to look into the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And something that we're all familiar with. You know, this is the parable of the sower and the seed. So, we're going to start at verse 3. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 3. Excuse me. And it reads, many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. So he's comparing his word to the seed. All right, we know this. We've been through this. We're going to jump down and we're going to get the explanation. Right? But Israel being farmers, Israel being people who dealt with agriculture, he had to speak to them in a way that they would understand. So we have advanced a little bit, and there's information about farming that we can look into. Some people actually, like my brother, deals with the gardening, and he got the green thumb, so we're going to be talking to you, you know, my brother too. As it goes, he's given us something that we can physically deal with, that if we pay attention to, is going to understand, it's going to unlock something about him that he wants us to know about his work. Right? So, when you are gardening, the sower is going forth to sow the seed. Now, just like what we talked about, the whole point of sowing the seed and planting the seed in the first place is to get a crop.
Man.
That's the point of it, you know. You ain't just sowing the seed just for fun or you ain't got nothing to do. You want an increase, like you said, some 100-fold, 60-fold, is to produce something.
Man.
So first of all, he gave his word so something can be produced. All right? Man. Now, before you sow that seed, one of the first things you have to do is prepare the ground.
Amen.
Correct? You can't. And he gave us, in our illustration, the parable we just looked at, three types of ground. He said some went by the wayside, some was on stony ground, and some was on some grounds with some thorns. Right? So they are three different mindsets. You know, when he talked about the wayside, and when I looked up the word wayside, it's talking about a road, just a road, your journeys. He says he threw these, sowed this seed, some fell by the wayside, but then these birds devoured it as it was going, as, you know, by the wayside. Think about all the thoughts that Abba gives you as just going throughout your day. Sometimes he'll put a thought on your mind, and it's a wonderful thought, and you're going, wow, and he's taking you on this journey. But then here comes another thought to counteract that thought. He puts a righteous thought he puts a righteous thought on your mind, but then the unrighteous thought comes to try to counteract that thought. That's that bird trying to devour the seed.
Man.
I played this game called Don't Starve. And one of the ways that you have to catch, the whole point of it is not to starve. You know, you have to go out and it's one of those survival type games. You got to get sticks to make a spear, and, you know, you got to find flint to make fire and all this stuff. Well, one of the ways that you eat is you catch bunny rabbits, or you eat seeds, or you can catch birds. But the way you catch the birds is you drop the seeds on the ground, and the birds come down to devour it. Why? Birds eat seed. You know, that's what they do. So think about that. Think about the other parable that was given about a man who sowed some seed. And he sowed the seed, but then an enemy came and sowed some tares among his wheat. And he was asked him, he said, his worker asked him, he said, hold up, didn't you sow good seed there? He said, yeah, but the enemy came and he sowed some seeds there too. He sowed some tares among my wheat. Well, should we destroy the tares? Mm-mm. No, let them grow up together, because I don't want to damage this wheat. So let them grow up together, and then at the end, we're going to harvest them both, right? And we're going to take those tares, and they're going to get burned up. And we're going to take this wheat, and we're going to put it in the storehouse. So think about your mindset. He's asking you to make a choice within that parable, because you're going to have good thoughts, and you're going to have bad thoughts. It's going to have, but which one are you going to harvest? Because they got to grow together. He said, you're going to learn from, you're going to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So it's going to be times when righteousness is on your mind, and it's going to be times when evil is on your mind.
Amen.
It's a part of us. But which one are you going to harvest?
Amen.
Because there has to be a harvest. It has to be. They're growing. These things are growing. Now, the same way that Yahweh's word is a seed, so is Satan's word. It starts off the same way. He can only do what he's been shown, you know. So you have those two going on. Now, think about the land. Again, think about the land. One of the things we learn in Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 10, it says, thou shalt not plow with an ox and a donkey together, right?
Amen.
So we know that the land is a representation of your mind. The field is your mind. We learned that through the parables of Yahushua.
Amen.
I think this is something that we've been through enough, and I think everybody knows this, you know? Hopefully everybody knows this. I'm praying everybody knows this, all right? So as this land is being prepared, he says you can't plow this land with an ox and a donkey. An ox is a clean animal. A donkey is an unclean animal. So as you're preparing this land, use one or the other. One of these two animals is going to be used to prepare this land.
Amen.
You know? But you can't use them together. The same way the wheat can't grow with the tares. They're growing up together, but they can't be harvested together. One can be used. The other one is not useful.
Man.
You know? At the end, a choice has to be made. So now, you out here plowing this land, and this ox doing all this work is ripping up the stones, pulling up all this ground and this, that, and that, making the land prepared for the seed that's going to come.
Man.
The donkey is a beast of burden, too. And it will do the same thing, right? The donkey, well, the donkey can rip up some stuff. It can't rip up some stuff like the ox. It can go, you can hook a plow to it, and it'll run. It won't pull up the tree stumps, you know. You need a big beast, that the mighty ox, that clean beast, to do a work like that, you know. So that unclean beast, it's a beast of burden, but it can't do what that clean beast can do. So you can't put those two together. There has to be a choice. There has to be a separation of the two. Because if you actually hook the two together, that ox will rip that donkey apart. It's that massive. It's that strong. It's that. It's the symbol of strength, where a donkey is a symbol of stubbornness. The land is being prepared. Now, one of the other things he said was, some of this seed that hit this land grew up on stony ground. And we learned that the stony ground, we go down a little bit. In verse 20 in Matthew chapter 13, the stony ground, it says, "But he that received the seed onto stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended."
Wow.
So, he who has the stony ground don't have no root in him, right? So the soil went forth. Now, you didn't sow some seed. When you sow in that seed and you put it down into the ground, different seeds grow at different depths, right? You can't just take all kinds of seed, go 2 or 3 inches into the ground and expect that seed to grow, right? All right, some seeds have to go deeper into the ground. Some seeds need less room into the ground. But the point of that is so it has root. It has enough root to go to spread and eventually fortify itself where it can stand on its own.
Man.
See, but what happens when it hits a rock? The root is now turned upward. You know, it can't go down because it can't penetrate that rock. So it has to go in some direction. It turns up. And what happens? The sun hits it, destroys the root. So now it can't stand on its own. It can't receive the nutrients that it needs. It can't do what it was designed to do. Think about people who sit and they hear the word. Yeah! Great! Yeah! But then here comes somebody saying something different than what is being taught. And now here's the questions. Well, could it be, and maybe, and are you sure, and you have no root within yourself?
Well,
if the things that you're hearing, see, because the words say this, says, hear all things, hold fast to that which is good.
Amen.
But that's for a strong person. That's for a person who's grounded within this word. Nobody, because I hear a man say that Lot raped his daughters, and T.D. Jakes said that in one of his sermons, because he got drunk and he worked his daughters because his wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Now, if that causes me to be shook by what the words say. I ought not hear these other things until I get stronger. See, because before a tree can stand up, sometimes you have to put the little wires to help it stand up straight. It needs help. The roots aren't strong enough to hold. So if the wind blows too hard, every wind of doctrine blows too hard and it knocks you over, then you're in trouble. You're not going to bear the fruit. You're not going to get to the end game. Because the point is to grow, bear fruit, and give back seed so it can continue the process. Right? So these are the people who, when they hear the word, they are offended because of the word. And that's what a lot of folks out here are doing. They're being offended and they're being shook. When Paul wrote to all those different assemblies, he was telling them to believe. He praised one of them. He said, I praise you and I thank you because you kept the doctrine the way I gave it to you.
Hallelujah.
I'm not worrying about you getting shook by these people and they're saying this and they're saying that. I gave you this doctrine and you kept it the way I gave it to you. You might have had some questions, you might have had some issues, but you stayed on the path that I put you on, you know? He was having a lot of issues in other churches, but one, he prays for their steadfastness, you know? And that's how we have to be. We have to be steadfast. If you really believe that the man is sent by the Most High, why are you questioning? You know? Why? Why are you going to go? And don't get me wrong, it's good to question. Yes, sir.
Could you repeat that question?
The man is sent? No, I said if a man is sent.
Oh, a man is sent. Okay.
Yes. If you really believe that a man is sent by the Most High, why you question them? And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with questioning, you know. But we learned there's reasons for questioning.
Right.
You know, it depends on how your question is coming. Are you questioning to bring forth doubt, or are you questioning because, okay, I need clarity, you know. I need clarity on the thing. Now, a lot, and that's one of the things, another thing that Paul wrote. He was telling them, he said, look, I know y'all got issues over here, but don't think that, he said, don't make me get bold with you when I come and see you, you know, because y'all getting a little out of hand over here. When I come and see you, I'm going to just have to tell it like it is, you know. He said, when I'm away from you, I'm writing you these letters trying to be nice, but when I appear in front of you, it ain't going to be like that. You know, I'm going to have to talk to you for real, for real. You know, and don't make me do that. You don't want to see that side of me, basically. You know. But any questions or comments so far? All right. So we got the ground plowed. We got the seed is now into the ground. Now, let me put this there. Isaiah 55. Starting at verse 6. He says, seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, from heaven, and return not there, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So, seed into the ground. Next thing we got to do, water it. You know? Because the ground itself has certain nutrients in it that that seed needs. But the water helps that seed to fill up and swell and extract the nutrients from the ground that it needs to bud or burst to bring forth that the sapling, the shoot. All right? So the word says this: one man plants, one man waters, Yahweh gives the increase, right? So the watering part would be the building or the going forth or the helping of the seed. Water gives life to everything on this planet. That's the whole point of it. That's what it does. And he compares his word also to water, right? So when it rains, we just read, the purpose of the rain is to come down, water the earth, and help give seed back to the soil. It has a purpose.
Amen.
So if you take and it goes into the earth, it brings forth, it buds, the seed goes out, drops down, and you start the process all over again. But what happens if you overwater a plant? Because a seed can be overwatered. You'll kill it. You know, if you take and you have too much water on that seed, it dies. It doesn't produce what it's supposed to do. So think about building. Think about when you going through these things, right? And there's too much water on that seed, something you might not understand. Okay, so that means you give up? No. You might have to say, okay, I don't get that, but I'm not going to let it deter me, right? Or you ask that question, what do you mean? See, that's why communication is so important. If you don't know something, right, you're overwatered, so to speak. Talk to somebody who can soak up some of that water for you. You understand what I'm saying? So that seed won't die, because the whole point is to bring forth the fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anybody know about crop rotation? Anybody ever heard of that? Crop rotation. Yes.
Crop rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is crop rotation, brother?
Crop rotation is when you put a different crop in the same area because the ground has lost certain nutrients. Put another crop in there that will back into the ground so that you can reap that same crop before. And another aspect of crop rotation, let's say if you have, let's say you grow tomatoes in the right corner of a spot. Take that, those tomatoes, and you put it in the left front corner.
Mm-hmm.
That's a form of crop rotation also. Growing a plant in the same area, but you're not, you know, because that one area where it was once growing, it took all the nutrients out of that particular area. But you move it to another area within the spot, then it take those nutrients from that area, and then you put another type of crop or another type of in that area. But basically to replenish the earth.
Replenishing the earth.
Replenish the earth of the nutrients that it's lost.
Right. So the whole thing. Anybody who didn't hear that, the brother is saying that if you're planting, let's say you plant, like he said, tomatoes in an area, you take tomatoes and you plant them in that area, and then you have another area, you take the tomatoes out of that area, plant them to another part of your garden because the tomatoes then took certain nutrients out of the ground. And you put a different type of plant, let's say you put in corn there where the tomatoes were. The corn now takes nutrients out of the ground, but it puts some back in there. So the whole point is that certain seeds need certain nutrients. Every seed doesn't grow off of the same type of nutrient, you know. So that's the whole point. Compost, you know, when you make compost, you get all the organic stuff and that breaks down, and you add it to your plowed soil, and it puts nutrients back into the earth. Why? Because certain seeds need certain nutrients to grow. So let's say you planted some tomatoes, and it took all of the phosphorus out of that area. Well, now you need something to replenish the phosphorus to put it back in there so you can grow tomatoes again. It strips it as it's growing. It's stripping that. It's taking out of it. It's taking out of the earth. But certain ones will put back into the earth. It's giving something and it's taking something. That's how everything, trees give us oxygen. But it takes in the carbon dioxide that we breathe. We take in the oxygen that they given, and we giving them carbon dioxide. That's how he designed this whole world.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a self-sustaining world. Everything in it works with one another, you know. And when you take one thing out, like having the whole thing about these bees, you know, bees are so low that they like endangered species now. You can't even catch them no more. When we was younger, you could catch bees. I don't think you could catch them no more. You know, it's not enough bees to pollinate flowers. And if you can't pollinate the flowers, we can't eat. You know, we can't eat. So you think about the design of this. Now, that seed needs certain nutrients for it to grow. So let's say you don't understand something. Stay a little while. Keep listening. Maybe you're missing a nutrient that it takes for you to grow.
Hallelujah.
Maybe you got stripped of that magnesium, but some magnesium is coming. You know? Maybe you got stripped of that phosphorus, so phosphorus is coming. A lot of times it's that one piece of the puzzle that once you find where it fits, it makes the whole puzzle a lot easier to you know, because everybody can get the corners. They straight. See, when you putting that puzzle together, that's the first part that everybody put. You have a big corner with nothing in the middle.
Because
am I lying? That's the first part you put together, because that's the easiest part to put together. The picture itself is the hard part. That's the part that you have to actually look. And some of us cheat because we look on the box. You ain't supposed to look on the box. You know, that's the cheating way. You know, but certain things, there's certain nutrients that you need. You might be missing something. But that don't mean that you give up. That don't mean it's old, because he's saying something I don't agree with, so I got to go. And I personally feel this, that, and another, I got to go. It don't mean that you give up. It don't mean that you stop. You shouldn't be offended by the word. The word is not here to offend you. It's here to help you.
Amen.
It's here to get you to a certain spot, like the brother said in his teaching, to offend you. He said, like we just read, your thoughts are not my thoughts, but offend you. And if we keep on learning from what was given for us, our thoughts will become more like his thoughts, because he gave this planet for us to learn. You know? So, back to any questions or comments?
Open me up.
All right. Okay. All right. Now, in verse 22 in Matthew chapter 13, this is the other form of mind that needs to be done. He says, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So, planting this garden, one of the things that you have to do, and you always have to be look out for, weeds.
Hello.
You know, when you talk about the thorns, that's basically what you're talking about, the weeds. Why? that weeds do, it what does weeds do mainly to your garden?
It clutters it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it untidy, and at the same time, it also
takes the nutrients from it. It takes the nutrient, it clutters it, it makes it untidy, but the main thing it does, it steals from what you're trying to produce. It's taking from it. It's stealing the nutrients. So let's just say you got this person getting this nutrients, this nice nutritious meal, somebody stealing your apple. You know, you're going to be deficient on whatever vitamins this apple is, and she's like, ain't nobody taking my apple. But you're going to be deficient on whatever nutrients this apple is supposed to produce for you. Think about that. Think about folks that come around and try to spread little whispers here and there and try to steal your nutrients. Be careful about that. They're the thorns. It says the deceitfulness of the riches of the world and this, that, and another. Okay, no problem. I understand what Yahushua said, because he says the love of money is the root of all evil, and people will do anything for money. We see that within the world. But your spiritual well-being, you know, that can be stolen too. And it don't have to be about money. It can be about an opinion. It can be about how you feel. It could be personal. It could be about anything. Satan's going to try to get you however he's going to get you. He's going to try to steal from you, because that's what he does,
right?
You know? So he gave us this weed that's going to, yes, sir.
Yes, that's it. Add to what you said. This is something that my wife and I had actually seen recently. In our yard on the gate, there are weeds. Now, at the beginning of the season, it was just green and everything. So, you know, we went through and we pulled some of it off. But the ones that we didn't get to, it started to bloom, and it's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good.
Mm-hmm.
So what we learned, so we talked about it, you let those weeds sit long enough, that's going to start looking good to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to differentiate between what's a weed and what's a natural flower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I thought that was also important.
Yes, sir. I believe a dandelion is a weed, too. But I believe
they call it a weed.
I know it's good for you, but it provides something for you, because my grandfather used to make dandelion liquor. So, mm-hmm. They're different.
Yeah, they're different. But when you don't use it, it turns into those things that flower.
Right.
And go seeds itself.
Right.
Because it blows away. So you didn't use
it. Right.
And then at the end of the day, and once the stalk dies, it dies.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, but the seeds went up, and you wanted that. I got all these dandelions. Why? Because the seeds
went up,
and they fell down, and they grew up again.
Okay.
So,
all right. So dandelion, bad example. But there's certain weeds that weeds will steal from you.
Right.
That's the point. You know, so be careful. Be careful about folks that's trying to steal from you, just trying to take away from what Abba is giving you. You know, be careful. So, the last mindset, verse 23, he says, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So, again, the good ground, that's the ground that's been plowed, that's been prepared, that's been looked after, nurtured, done everything for, you know, and it is producing what Yahweh is intending for it to produce.
Amen.
That's where you want to plant that seed. That's where we want to be.
Amen.
Right? So, any questions or comments? Yes.
The analogy that you've given, understanding that the field is the mind. How does the mind become cultivated?
By obeying the Torah. And when I say that, I mean this. How do we obey the Torah? right? The words say, seek the law at the priest's lips. There is no reason anybody should have any misunderstanding, all right? Within here, you have men who will sit down, will go to Abba on your behalf. If you don't understand something, will get the answer. Might not be right away.
Amen.
All right? It might not be right away. Thing is on Abba's time. Sometimes, like again, you don't want to overwater a plant. You might be asking a question that you're not ready for. The truth of the matter, you might ask a question that you're not ready for, ready for the answer. But you have to use the tools at your disposal, you know. You got that ox to plow that ground. That's a tool at your disposal because you don't want to plow that ground by hand. It takes a lot longer, takes a lot more, it's more strenuous on you. So you got that ox, and a lot of times you can't rip that stump up, not by hand. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
it's
true. Uh-huh. That's true.
Not using no
ox. That's true. But you still don't want to use your
and they also need tractors.
All right. So we're going to hop on the tractor. Fine. No more oxes. We're going to hop on the tractor. And the tractor going to rip up whatever needs to there, probably even stronger than the ox. Point being, how do we obey the Torah? If you have questions, you have to ask it. All right? So if there's something that you don't understand, you can't be silent. You know? You have to come to the priest and allow him to go to Abba on your behalf. That's how it's always been. Anybody who didn't understand something, and it's another thing that we talked about, order. Moshe was the last person that you talked to, all right? He had people under him to handle affairs of the people. He had the people that was over 10, over hundreds, over thousands. That was the order that you went in. You didn't go straight to Moshe to get your get your question answered. You know, you went through, okay, Brother Marvin L., I have a question. Yeah. Maybe Mario don't know. Okay. Mario comes to Yarrell. Yeah. This question was asked. What do you think? Yeah. Okay. Maybe he don't know. He talks to Ahab, though, and so forth. But Yaka'el was the link, is the end. You know, so that's the order. A lot of times we jump the order.
Hallelujah.
Not saying that he can't give you that, but understand order is important to Abba.
Come on.
It's very important to Abba. He stresses that. You know, you just don't, and we know, because you're going to get the answer. But let everything be done decently and in order. This is the way he set it up. So we have to do what he say do, and if you don't understand something, it's no need for people not to understand something.
Right.
And if we don't understand something, we got the guy with the answer.
That's right. Hallelujah.
We're going to talk to him, and he's going to give it to us in his time. That's what he's going to do. And I mean, and I can't talk for all of y'all, but personally speaking, all my prayers were answered. Any question I wanted to know from Abba, he answered them. He didn't answer them when I felt like answer, but eventually he answered them, and he brought it back to my mind that he answered that prayer. Yes, sir.
Just to add to what you're saying and using that analogy, which is good. When you plant a seed, you're not going to get that fruit the next day.
That's right.
You may not even get it the next week or the next month. So now, what he's teaching us? You have to develop some patience.
That's right.
Okay, he's going to get things.
That's right. You know, and another thing that we were talking about, that he talks about pruning. He says, look, those I love, my father, he said, I'm the vineyard, my father's the husband. I prune you to produce more fruit. You know, there's certain things he's going to have to cut away from you to get produce more fruit. You know, we're not going to like it. I'm pretty sure that plant don't like it when you're snipping on it, but it's to produce more fruit. Why? And what's the name? Harbaugh gave that great analogy with his strawberry bush. You know, he pruned it down, and it finally produced. Why? Because it had to concentrate the nutrients in a certain area in order for it to grow the way it needs to grow, to produce. So, I mean, he uses his word like a seed. You know, back then, Israel being the type of people that they were. But still, now, there's things that we can understand from it. You know, it's one of those things that never, it don't go out of style, so to speak. You know, there's not a way that you can't understand it. You know, but that's what's being done. All right. Any other questions or comments?
I want to throw something out there in regards to what he was pruning. Because sometimes you have to prune because you have, like, leaves that's just on the line or on the tree or on the stalk that's taking water.
Right.
And it's not producing.
Right.
So you have to cut them off sometimes so that to concentrate the fruit that is producing line or stalk so that it can continue so that it can come.
Brother said, it's another reason for pruning is because sometimes you have leaves that's on the stalk or on the vine that's taking away from the fruit that's being produced. So you cut it off, and the nutrients concentrate on the fruit that is being produced, and it grows bigger. It's starting to, like you said, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, is doing what it's designed to do. You're getting that end game. And, you know, that's, think about that, man. Just, sometimes you just got to clip away this bad habit, you know, we don't like it. We don't like getting rid of some of our 30-year-old habits, 20-year-old habits. We don't like it. But it produces something even greater, you know. So it is what it is. That's why he compares his word to the seed. Any other questions or comments? All right, last verse. It's in Isaiah chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 1. And it reads, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it. Also made a winepress therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes." So Abba, he went through the whole process. He plowed the land, put the choicest vine there, put a tower up, fenced it, you know, to keep predators out. He did everything that he's supposed to do. But he said at the end of it, it didn't produce what he wanted to be produced. So he says, verse 5, "And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it to waste, and it shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." So all that work I put into it, and it didn't produce what I'm looking for to produce. Now read it. The thorns are going to come up. The briars are going to be there. I'm not going to prune it. It's not going to, it ain't producing anyway. So lay it to waste, he says. He says, verse 7, the vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is the house of Israel.
Amen.
And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. So, Abba did what he was supposed to do. Israel didn't produce what he was looking for. But he says there's always that remnant. We're still a choice vine. But we have to choose, what are we going to produce? Are we going to produce those wild grapes? Are we going to be the wheat? Or are we going to be the tare? What are we going to be? And at the end of the day, that's something that only you can choose.
Yeah.
Right? So any questions or comments about anything? All right. That ends the Torah portion. Can I have the book, Aki? Kol Kum Yisrael. To you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Yahya, you mind closing us out, please?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be
the little power glove.